The first few minutes of this teaching were not recorded, so I'm re-recording it to add to that which was recorded. God bless you all. Today is Sunday, December the 29th, last teaching for 2024. Please take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's where we're going to start this morning. You know, this time of year, many people anticipate a good new year. A lot of people are expecting things to be better in the coming new year. And, you know, many people look forward to a brighter future. But whether it's a new year or a new day, there's one thing we all really anticipate and very much look forward to: the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And I thought for the final teaching of this year, we would take a look at our great hope. So we begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 13, we read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For those that are not born again, they have no hope, but we do. For if we believe that Jesus," we're in verse 14, "for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep." And look at this: "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, ever, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Isn't it interesting? It says, "For this we say by the word of the Lord." We're reading scripture. That is the word of the Lord, right? Holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. We're reading God's word, but that verse said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." What a day that's going to be. What a day. And then, of course, as we just read, after those exciting and marvelous details of what we have to look forward to, God tells us, comfort one another with these words. The words he just told us about our great hope. The word that's translated as comfort means to console or to comfort. It also means to encourage. You know, when we lose a loved one, we are greatly comforted, greatly consoled by remembering that Jesus Christ is coming back, and one day we will see our loved ones again. What a day that's going to be. And also, no matter what's going on in our lives, it's the hope of Christ's return that encourages us day by day. You know, that same word that's translated as comfort there, it's also used in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read in verse 3.
"Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort," all consolation, all encouragement. He's the God of all of it. And then verse 4. Look how many times comfort comes up in this verse. "Who," talking about God, "comforts us in all our tribulation." That's mental pressure, which can come from any number of things, right? Physical, mental, whatever. "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." What a verse that is. God comforts or encourages us in all our tribulations so that we may be able to comfort or encourage them which are in any trouble, mental pressure, by the comfort or encouragement wherewith we ourselves are comforted or encouraged by God. God is the God of all comfort, and there are many ways in which God can and does comfort or encourage us. If you keep your finger here, look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, not too far away. And in verse 5, chapter 7, verse 5, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." It was a heavy time for Paul and company. "Nevertheless, God, that comforts those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." God comforts and encourages those that are cast down. Have you ever been cast down? Ever bang up against the wall? God of all comfort. He comforts those that are cast down. And that's because God's concerned about us. Very concerned about us. He cares for us. I think we heard a little bit about that in manifestations this morning, right? God really cares for us. And so this comfort came to Paul and company by way of Titus. And then look at verse 7. "And not by his coming only, but by the comfort or encouragement wherewith he was comforted or encouraged in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more." Seeing Titus and then hearing that news brought great comfort and encouragement to Paul and those with Paul during a really tough time. So back to chapter 1 and verse 4 again. 1:4. "God comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted or encouraged by God." People walking with the love of God can bring others comfort or encouragement. There's a couple of occasions, speaking of comfort and encouragement, where angels from God were sent to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's plenty of places in the Bible where you see God bringing that comfort. Again, you know, there's many ways that God can and does comfort us, or consoles us, or encourages us. And according to 1 Thessalonians that we just read, the words regarding the hope of Christ's return will comfort us. They'll console us. They'll encourage us. Look at Romans 8. The hope of Christ's return. What a day it's going to be. A great, big, wonderful day. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "For I reckon," we're in Romans 8, 18, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What's coming is not worth comparing to what's going on now. Why? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Not worth comparing. Yeah, not worth comparing, God says. It won't even cross your mind to compare once we get to that day. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We cannot even imagine what's waiting for us at the return. I mean, we know that we're going to be zoomed up to the clouds. We know we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. We know we're going to be there forever with him. We know we'll get to see our loved ones again. But what else? We can't even imagine it. We have a very lively hope, a living hope. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We're born again ones. Begotten us again. We're born again ones. Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a lively hope. It's a living hope. It's a real hope. It's not a false hope. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It's not a, well, I think my soul's going to float somewhere and do this. And I had an interesting discussion with a chiropractor recently about death. And so I was sharing with him some stuff about, no, there is no place where you go when you die and burn and burn and burn and keep burning forever. One day I went, well, if you keep burning and burning, how is it you not get burnt up? But it was great. It was a great discussion. Just got to share some stuff with him. It's a lively hope that we have. And then verse 4 says, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. This great inheritance is reserved for you and for me. It's reserved. And God has told us in his word, it cannot be corrupted, it can't be defiled, and it's not going to fade away. And it's reserved, set apart for you and me. How comforting is that? How encouraging that is. Look at 1 John chapter 3. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And we are. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Or we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him. The bodies that we have right now, today, these mortal bodies, do not have the capability of zooming up to the clouds. We can't handle it. And add to that, those who have fallen asleep for the last 2,000 years that are going to be gathered together, they certainly don't have any capability of going up into the clouds. And that's why in Corinthians, and we're going to read it in a few minutes, it says there's going to be a change. Well, there has to be a change if we're going to the clouds, right? All born again ones, both those that are living and those that have fallen asleep, will need to change. To what? Look at Philippians. Back up to Philippians chapter 3. What did we just read? We will be like him? Oh my goodness. Talk about some comfort and encouragement. Philippians chapter 3, towards the end of the chapter, verse 20. For our conversation, and be better translated citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also, we look for the Savior. Oh, we're looking, aren't we? The Lord Jesus Christ. Could be today. Hope it's today. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Change our vile bodies that will be like his glorious resurrected body. We're going to be like him, like his glorious resurrected body. Well, isn't that something to look forward to? with great expectation, great anticipation. Very comforting, very encouraging. And you know from reading the book of Acts, on the day of the ascension, Jesus Christ went up where? They watched him until he disappeared into the clouds. His resurrected body didn't have a problem going up. And he didn't have a spacesuit on either. Jesus, why are you putting on that spacesuit? Because I have to go. He didn't need to do that. And in his resurrected body, remember, they were behind closed doors and he just popped up right there. And he was not a spirit. He said, touch me, handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like you see me have. And they were like, all right, give me some food. You got something to eat? And they just watched him. Look, I can eat. We get a resurrected body like he does. So it's kind of neat that the Bible showed him eating, because some people that are from Italian descent like to eat. I don't know what we're going to eat, but I know we get a body fashioned like his glorious resurrected body. 1 Corinthians 15 is where we're going to close. What a hope we have. What a hope we have to look forward to. I'm in second. Kind of go to first. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Well, then what's going to happen? Well, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It's going to happen in verse 52 in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We heard about that trump in Thessalonians, right? At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, meaning those of us that are alive, shall be what? Changed. Needs to be a change for both those that have died and those that are living. For this corruptible, that's those who have died, must put on incorruption. And if you become incorruptible, can you ever corrupt? No, because you're incorruptible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Oh boy. We're mortal, but we're going to put on immortality. And then the next verse says, so when this happens, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, when that happens, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And death has not been swallowed up in victory yet. But when this happens, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The strength of sin, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Death. Victory over death itself. And you know what? That's day one. Boom! We're gathered together. We're in the clouds. We see Jesus Christ. We see our loved one. That's day one. What's after that? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. The crap we go through in this present world, not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. God's promise to every born-again one is victory over death. We are going to be changed. We're all going to live forever when Christ comes back. Live forever. We're coming right back here, but look at Titus chapter 1. Timothy Titus, chapter 1. Remember what we read in Thessalonians? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. What we're telling you is this is what God says. This tell you by the word of the Lord. Well, here in Titus, in chapter 1, verse 3, I'm sorry, verse 2, Titus 1, 2. In hope, the great hope that we have, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began or before this age began. God has promised us eternal life, and God does not lie. We have hope of eternal life. So back to 1 Corinthians 15. You know, when we read the section in Thessalonians, it concluded with comfort one another with these words. Bring the comfort to one another with these words. And of course, those words do bring consolation. They bring a tenderness to it, as well as encouragement. This section on the return of Jesus Christ and our gathering together concludes in verse 58. Therefore, from what we've just read, victory over death, being changed, mortal to immortal, corruptible to incorruptible. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's great comfort and there's great encouragement knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back. And since he is coming back, and we know that God's word has promised to reward us for the good that we've done, God says, stay the course. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All the good that we do, God's keeping score. You know? So in this coming year, let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We'll be rewarded for the things that we do for God. God's the one keeping score. We don't need to keep score. We just stay the course. God's keeping track of everything, and God's promised to reward us. And maybe today he comes back, or tomorrow, or sometime in the year 25. I don't know. But God is going to send his son to gather us together. So what a great hope we have. Father, thank you for all that your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished for us. All the things that, Father, you have just poured out on us for, because of your great love, because we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, because we accepted him as Lord and believed in the heart that you raised him from the dead, you just poured all this out for us. Eternal life, all the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have until Christ comes back, being rewarded for the good that we've done, how blessed we are. We thank you, God, for being such a good God, a kind God, and a loving God. And may we each day be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, out of thanksgiving to you, not out of duty, but out of great thanksgiving and love for you, because you love us. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.